Well, God bless you, everybody. Please take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is where we'll begin. The title of today's teaching is The Ascension of Christ, part 1. And in this first part, we are going to look at two main things: when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and its connection. His ascension connection to his resurrection. If you ask most Christians who are familiar with their Bibles, when did Christ ascend to heaven? They would answer 40 days after his resurrection, and they would probably read this record in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And it's ready together. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Again, these are the verses that would probably be shown to teach that Jesus Christ ascended 40 days after his resurrection. In fact, the heading over Acts 1 in my Bible says the Ascension, and probably in many of your Bibles as well. This day is commonly called the Day of Ascension. But let's read Acts 1 a little bit more carefully, and we'll start with verse 1. It says in verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me." Did you notice that in verse 2 it says, "until the day he was taken up"? Notice it doesn't say, "until the day he ascended." It says, "until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments." So, scripturally, this day is called the day he was taken up. Now, let's read verses 9 through 11 again. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." So all the places there we read, it's consistent. It says he was taken up, and this word taken up is the word analabano. And you can also notice that taken up occurs in a passive voice, meaning the subject, Jesus Christ, was acted upon. He didn't do the ascending. Instead, it says he was taken up. If I say to you, "Someone drove me to work," it's a different from saying, "I drove to work," right? When someone drove to work, I was acted upon, I was driven to work. But if I said, "I drove to work," then I was actively doing the work, driving to work. And this is the difference here. It says Jesus Christ was taken up. He was in a passive sense. He was acted upon. Let's look at one more occurrence in the same chapter where Peter and the others needed to find a replacement for Judas. And Peter, in verse 21, is listing the qualifications of what they need for this, somebody to replace Judas. So in 21, he says, "Wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So we've looked at three out of the five occurrences of the word analabano, which is the word translated taken up. And it is actually used five times, and it consistently means taken up. Jesus Christ is said to have been taken up. In all cases, it's in the passive voice, meaning Jesus Christ was the recipient of the action instead of his doing the action. Now, since Jesus Christ does end up in heaven after being taken up, it may appear to be, you know, not much of a difference. Just maybe one might think it's just semantics. After all, whether one ascends or is taken up, one ends up at the same place. However, since the scriptures do make a distinction, it becomes very important. And we're going to see that distinction shortly. And we're going to start in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. This is the record of the first appearance of Jesus Christ after his resurrection. But before we read the record, let's just remind ourselves of Christ's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, which we've studied in foundational class, or if you have the book Jesus Christ, Our Passover, you're familiar with it. So we know that Jesus Christ had said that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, three periods of 72 hours. We know that he died on a Wednesday, on the 14th of Nisan, between 3 p.m., and was buried before sunset of that same day. Now, if you count 3 days and three nights, you end up to Saturday, the 17th of Nisan, and he would have risen from the dead from the time he was buried, you know, which would have been between 3 p.m. and sunset when he was buried. He would have risen after these 72 hours, he would have risen from the dead, and that would have been a Saturday afternoon. So by the time people came to his grave here in John 20, it's the 18th of Nisan, which is a Sunday, and he was no longer in the grave. So we know that he arose on a Saturday and was crucified on Wednesday. So just remember those details, and you can refresh yourself with them from Jesus Christ, Our Passover, or some other books. But in John 20, let's read what it says. The first day of the week, which would be Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's remember now, this is very early Sunday morning. Jesus Christ would have risen from the dead the day before. Now, in verse 17, Jesus clearly says, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but that he is about to ascend to the Father. Note that he does not say, I will ascend in 40 days. Okay? He's saying very emphatically, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto the Father. Other translations have I am ascending unto my Father. Note also, he does not say, I'm going to be taken up. He spoke of himself as doing the action. He said, I ascend unto the Father. It's also very significant that Jesus Christ told Mary not to touch him, as we're going to see shortly. Now, Mary, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What did Mary report to the disciples? That Jesus had said he was ascending to the Father. That's what she would have reported. Exactly what he had asked her to do. Now let's continue reading in John in verse 19. Verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Note how the record establishes that this is the same day Sunday. Mary had gone to the grave in the morning of that day, and now it's evening. Jesus Christ had appeared to Mary in the morning, and now he is appearing to other disciples in the evening. Now let's go to Luke chapter 24. And look at the parallel record, Luke 24. Luke 24. And we'll pick it up in verse 36. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. See, in the morning, Jesus had prevented Mary from touching him, explaining that he hadn't yet ascended to the Father. He instructed her to inform his brothers of his imminent ascension. Mary Magdalene had then relayed that to the disciples, both the news of having seen the risen Lord and his words about ascending to the Father. Now, if Jesus Christ's ascension was planned for 40 days later, as commonly believed, would there be any reason for Christ to urge Mary to inform the others about his ascension? No, since he would be meeting them that later, that very same day. And notice now how he is encouraging them to touch him. The word handle is actually the word touch. Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle, touch me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Your hand's not going to pass through me, in other words, he says. So something has clearly changed. Now, remember that the reason Jesus Christ had given for not allowing Mary to touch him was that he had not yet ascended to the Father. Therefore, the fact that he later allowed others the same day to touch him logically implies that his ascension had already taken place and he had subsequently returned from going to the Father. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So let's just summarize what we have learned so far. Jesus Christ was resurrected on Saturday, the 17th of Nisan. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene on Sunday morning, the 18th of Nisan. He forbade her to touch him because he had not ascended to the Father. He instructed Mary to tell his brothers that he was about to ascend to the Father and to his Father and their Father, to his God and their God. Later, the same evening, he appeared to the disciples and in or to get rid of their fears, alleviate their fears, he told them to touch him because he had ascended to the Father in the interim time. Over the course of the next 40 days, he appeared to the disciples, showing himself alive with many indisputable proofs, as we read in Acts chapter 1. Then a full 40 days after his resurrection, it says he was taken up to heaven. Let's note something Peter said in Acts chapter 3. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Verse 19. Peter preaching here. He says in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the time of restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Peter here refers to Christ being taken up to heaven as a must. He said he must be taken to heaven was a must until the time for the restoring of all things. This suggests that Jesus Christ being taken up was not simply a departure from the earth, but it was a deliberate and significant event where he was received up into heaven, whereas in John 27, he actively ascended, then returned. But now, having been taken up, he must wait till he is sent by God in the future. It says, whom the heavens must receive. Even Jesus Christ, if you know the records before his crucifixion in John 16 to 20, you'll see that he talked about him going to the Father, and that he had to go, otherwise he could not send the Holy Spirit. So that's a quick summary of what took place. Jesus Christ was resurrected, then the very next day he ascended, and 40 days later he was taken up into heaven. Now, so we understand now, having looked at these records, that the ascension of Christ, his ascension, really took place the morning after his resurrection. We need to next understand why. You know, what was behind his command to Mary Magdalene not to touch him? Why did he have to ascend in the first place? And we're only going to begin to look at this in this part one of the session, but we'll set the background so that we can explore it further next time we get together. So to begin to understand it, let's note some things about the resurrection. You know, we're all familiar with how important the resurrection was for us, right? Among other things, 1 Corinthians 15 says that if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, our faith is vain. All we have put our hope in, our trust, everything is futile without the resurrection of Christ. It is a most significant event for us. Romans 4:1-4 also tells us that Jesus Christ was marked out as the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, then those that are in dead in Christ will arise. It is so central to what we believe is the resurrection of Christ. Without the resurrection occurring, everything we believe and everything we hold dear is of no value. Okay, so it's very significant to us. However, we may sometimes overlook that his resurrection, what his resurrection signified for Jesus Christ himself, beyond the simple fact that he was alive again. What did this event accomplish for him? To begin to understand this, we need to first look at some scriptural references to the word resurrection that might initially seem a little strange. Look at Luke chapter 20. Luke 20. When we think of resurrection, we think of somebody being raised from the dead, right? That's the first mind picture that we get, somebody being raised from the dead. But look at what Jesus Christ himself taught about resurrection in Luke chapter 20, verse 34. This is when they were having the discussion about with the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. So in verse 34, he says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world, this age, marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Note how here the resurrection is compared to birth. Okay, it says resurrected ones are made children of God. In Revelation chapter 1, you can turn there, Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Normally, when we think of someone being begotten, we think of physical birth. But the scriptures refer to resurrection as a birth also. Other translations render verse 5 as the firstborn from the dead. Okay, so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is compared to birth. Let's look at another record in Acts 13. Acts 13. This will become, you'll understand why we need to look at this first. When we look at the significance of why Jesus Christ ascended after his resurrection. In Acts 13, here Paul is preaching, and we'll just pick up his teaching in verse 28. He was preaching Christ unto the people, and he said in verse 28, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Psalm 2, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." The resurrection of Christ is spoken of by God as a begetting, a birth. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read to you Colossians 1:18, which says, "He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So again, we see how begetting, being born, being resurrected, I mean, is spoken of as a birth repeatedly in the scriptures. With this understanding, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, God, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had him by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee?" There's that quote from Psalm 2 again. And again, "I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the first begotten or the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 5 is again a quote from Psalm 2, which we read Paul had referred to in Acts 13. This day have I begotten thee is referring to Christ's resurrection, not when he was born of Mary. A couple of translations even render it, you are my son, today I have become your father. Today, meaning at the resurrection, I have become your father. So we understand that verse 5 is referring to Christ's resurrection. Then in verse 6, when he says, what does the when refer to? Verse 6, it says again, when he brings the firstborn into the world. Again, it is referring to his resurrection. At his resurrection, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says that all the angels of God worship or bow down to him. It was at his resurrection Christ was made superior to the angels. This did not take place 40 days later when he was taken up. This was right at his resurrection. Jesus Christ was made superior to all the angels, as we have just read. So the resurrection was a very significant event in the exaltation of Jesus Christ. He was not asked to wait 40 days before he was made superior to the angels. So that's point number one. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And this is the last place we'll go today. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 discusses the selection of high priests. Okay, how somebody becomes a high priest from God's point of view. Hebrews 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins, and no man takes this honor unto himself to become a high priest, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1 tells us that a high priest is selected on behalf of men in matters pertaining to God. He acts on behalf of men in relation to God and to offer gifts and sacrifices. Then verse 4 tells us that someone simply can't decide to become a high priest. Okay? He must be called by God, like Aaron was chosen by God. The crux of this discussion is verses 5 and 6. Again, Psalm 2 is quoted, referring to Christ's resurrection. It was at his resurrection, Jesus Christ was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the function of a high priest is on behalf of men in matters pertaining to God, so that he can offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So, to summarize, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he was made superior to the angels, and he was ordained a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which had certain responsibilities with it. The morning following his resurrection, he ascended to God. Now we can begin to understand that it would have been partly to perform his high priestly duties that he ascended to God. Recognizing that Jesus Christ was already made superior to the angels and the high priest at his resurrection gives us the necessary background now to understand why he didn't let Mary touch him on that day, and why he had to ascend on that day after his resurrection to complete his high priestly duties. And we'll begin considering that in our next teaching. Okay, should Christ not come back and explain it all to us much better than I can. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how exciting it is to read about all that you've wrought in him for us, how you've exalted him, how you've given him such superior position, and he's also the head of our body. Thank you, Father, for the blessings we have in him, and we are thankful that any time you open our eyes to understanding the scriptures more and more and getting to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, more, that it just brings us great blessings. And we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.